This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Mark Willard, and this is Inside Giant Moments, presented by T-Mobile, an official San Francisco Giants podcast. In Season 1, we looked back at some of the most iconic moments in franchise history. Now, it's time to focus on the present and future. We'll cover memorable wins and the off-field moments, interests, and personalities of the 2021 Giants team and staff. Join us for Season 2 of Inside Giant Moments, now. The game of baseball feels to be at a crossroads. How does the sport continue its tradition, but also welcome in new and younger fans? We connected with a number of Giants, starting with the team's player rep, Austin Slater, who has no shortage of opinions on the topic.
You've reached a time in your career now where you're established as a big leaguer, and you know, it feels also like the game as a whole is at a bit of a crossroads with its fans. So I wonder how you'd answer this. I mean, do you think on a personal level about the future of the game?
Yeah, you know, actually, I think about it quite a bit. You know, being the player rep, it's something that it constantly comes up, you know, not only from like a collective bargaining standpoint, which, you know, we have that coming, you know, this off season, but, you know, just like the bigger picture of the game. You know, you talk about revenue, you know, how it's going to be expanded. And there's a lot of common ground on both sides from the Players Association and the league front office and trying to figure out ways to, you know, make the game more entertaining, more watchable and more appealing to, you know, the younger generation. You know, we constantly see the stats of, you know, baseball has one of the oldest fan bases of any of the major sports. You know, we're struggling to capture, you know, Gen Z and younger millennials. And, you know, that's something that comes up quite a bit.
You just said something I don't think I've heard anyone say in a while, which is that you feel like there's a lot of common ground between the players and Major League Baseball with regard to this subject. That's interesting. You feel there's some common ground there.
I do. In common ground in the interest of expanding the sport. You know, there might be, you know, differences in how to do that, but, you know, I do think there is. You know, things that have gained some traction are, you know, decreasing the shifts, you know, trying to speed up the pace of play, create more action in the game, things like that, you know, and there's posturing on both sides, you know, and I think a lot of that is due to the fact that there is a CBA coming up, and rightfully so, each side is trying to gain leverage over the other, and because there's billions of dollars at stake there, but, you know, I do think genuinely there is common interest to, you know, expand the sport and make it more entertaining and viable in the long term.
How do you feel about the game's current connection with the fans?
You know, I think that's a tough question. I do think it's hard to really analyze it right now, considering, you know, we just played a whole season without fans in the stands, and, you know, we're looking at starting the season with limited capacity. You know, I would have to see the viewership of, you know, TV, and, you know, I haven't seen that, but, you know, it's an interesting, like, point in the history of the league. You know, we're going into a CBA. I think it would be incredibly damaging to the sport to have a work stoppage, you know, not just for the players, but mostly for the owners, you know, and the sport, the health of the sport in general. So, you know, it's hard to really say right now with a lot of the data being, you know, misconstrued because of, you know, the pandemic.
Oh, I'm glad you put it out there for our audience that you are the player rep, and therefore I bet you get asked this question, and I wonder what your answer is when fans say to you, or just, you know, people you know, when they express that they're worried about these upcoming negotiations and where this relationship sits. What do you say to them in terms of what you think is ahead?
You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, I really don't have an answer for you. And I would tell that to the fans too. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't want to say anything, you know, that, you know, misconstrues the situation, but, you know, I'm worried personally too. I love this sport and I want to see it, succeed in the long haul. But, you know, there are some serious issues and tensions between owners and players right now that need to be hashed out. And you know, hopefully it is, you know, after the CBA. You know, I expect it to be a contentious battle. I expect, you know, both sides to hopefully compromise and work something out. But I think there are bigger issues at play. I think, and you know, I said common ground. You know, we need to figure out how to make the league more competitive, being another topic, the game more entertaining, and how to reach younger fans and expand the sport globally. You know, those are, I think, the things that need to be the main focus, and then, you know, the dollars and cents will line up. You know, one of the things that we've talked about quite a bit is, you know, teams tanking to try to get draft picks. And I think that's terrible for the sport. And that directly impacts free agency spending and how players are getting paid. And you're seeing, you know, these mid to small market teams not even going after marginal wins because they know they're getting revenue sharing. And they're not paying that mid-tier player. And you're seeing those guys hurt. And that's causing a lot of the issues, I think, with players feeling upset about owners not paying players.
You mentioned also some of the items that are getting traction, which are the result of analytics, things like the shift and whatnot. I wonder, just as a player, what is your relationship with advanced analytics, and do you think the result of those analytics are good for fans?
You know, I think it is. I think fans are becoming more informed. And enjoying, you know, the nuances of the sport. And I think analytics kind of point out these nuances in an easier way to see during the game. You know, I personally use them, you know, as a player, and I think fans would love to see that insight on how teams and players, you know, use that information to try to better themselves and better the team.
What about the emotion that is or is not shown in the game? And I wonder if it's something that you can even really think about, because you don't want to force this. But, for example, NFL and NBA players actually plan out celebrations and performances within the game sometime. I'm certainly not asking for baseball players to plan something out, but is it something that you or teammates think about in terms of the way they – present themselves on a field and how fans may respond to that?
You know, I can only speak for myself and my teammates, but, you know, we don't really think about it. But, you know, I think it's becoming more part of the sport, more accepted. You know, you see guys like Tim Anderson doing those massive bat flips, you know, and other guys like that. You know, I personally think it's a little over the line to shove it in the guy's face like that. But, you know, I do think the fans enjoy it. So, you know, I can't really knock it too much. But I think it's becoming more part of the game and fans are enjoying it. And, you know, it's starting to become viewed less as like, hey, I'm trying to show this guy up, and more like, hey, I'm trying to celebrate with my teammates and get some energy in the dugout and in the stadium. So I think we're starting to move that way. But, you know, baseball's an old school sport, especially in America, where it's, hey, we're not trying to show up the other guy, you know, let's be professional and go about our work. You know, we're playing 162, let's be even keeled the whole way and go about our business. So I do think it's starting to change a little bit.
Do you buy the entire premise here, by the way? The game is too slow. Younger fans don't have the attention span. Do you buy into that premise?
You know, I used to, but, you know, I saw something recently that, you know, an MLB game actually has more action than an NFL game. And the time of actual play, you know, time of the game is about the same. So, you know, I think that used to be the sentiment in the sport. Now it's like, all right, this actually isn't true. And how can we just make the game more exciting in general and attract younger fans? So, you know, it's definitely a very interesting topic, but when you start to really look at it, there's things that line up with other sports, and you know, the players in the league office just need to, you know, trying to keep making adjustments to make it more interesting and watchable.
I want to ask you this too, especially as an offensive player. I mean, there's excitement for fans, and then there's fairness. But again, let's use football as an example. They've made all these rules that clearly favor the offense because they feel like that's what the fans want to see. Let's take that to baseball. Baseball this year is freely admitting they're deadening the ball a little bit because home runs, I guess in their opinion, have gotten a little bit out of control. What do you think about that, and is that a good thing for the fans?
Yeah, you know, but I do want to preface what I'm about to say with that, you know, the league is also making other adjustments, you know, adjusting what pitchers can put on the ball on their hand, you know, yep. Illegal substances, you know, along with trying, you know, deadening the ball. So there's some other balancing issues, and they're making a lot of adjustments in the minors as far as, I don't know if you've seen some of the rule changes, but they're going to experiment with some of them in the minors, automated strike zone, you know, increasing the size of the bags, pickoff rules, things like that. So I think the league is just more concerned about, you know, the direction baseball is moving or was moving, which is the three outcome sport, which was walk, strikeout, or home run. And so I think they're just trying to make more action, you know, on the bases. If they adjust the shifts, you know, hopefully, you know, more singles, doubles end up falling in, and there's more base runners and more action in the game. You know, you can feel it when there's runners on second and third, you know, no outs. You can feel the excitement in the stadium, you know, pick up versus, you know, runner on first base, boom, homer, or strikeout, you know, or walk, you know, things that just kind of slow the game down and drain the energy from the stadium. So I think those are the major concerns of the league right now.
I'm glad you brought up automated strike zone. As a guy who was called out to end the season last year on a ball that was not a strike, what do you think of automated strike zone?
You know, I guess first I don't really think the technology is quite there yet. Okay. So I'll go ahead and say that, you know, you could have a curveball that, you know, clips the bottom of the zone but ends up hitting the dirt, right? Which is that, should that be a strike? You know, I don't think so. Like, that's an unhittable pitch, you know, and there's other things where, you know, I'm not really sure if the tech is there yet. But, you know, I, even though, you know, last season ended the way it did, I still do appreciate and love the fact that umpires are part of the sport. I think it's entertaining. It's a challenge for players too. You know, you go into a game knowing, hey, this guy has a little bit of a bigger zone at the top or at the bottom. He's, you know, wider on the sides, or, you know, he's really tight. You know, let's make the pitcher come to us. I do like that aspect of the game. And, you know, I'm kind of old school in that sense that, you know, they belong in the game, and they always have been. So that's kind of where I stand.
Reliever Caleb Berriger is next. He's young and active on social media, but that doesn't mean he wants to flip baseball on its side. Take a listen to his thoughts on the issues. All right, Caleb, I want to ask you about the way that you connect with fans, the way that the game is connecting with fans. And we've made a couple references to your tweets and the presence you have on Twitter. How would you describe your approach to social media?
I just like to have fun with it. I don't take it too seriously. I think it's good if it's not, if you're not too serious about it and not trying to do too much with it, I would say. And a lot of the younger generation is on both Twitter and Instagram. And there's that Berger Memes Instagram that follows me. And I follow them back and kind of react. And I've gotten to know the kid who runs it a little bit, and he's pretty funny. He's got some good stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the way things might be trending. I remember my mom asked me, she's like, why are you making this stuff? And I was like, Mom, it's not me. I don't run this account. It's somebody else. And she's like, oh, okay, that makes more sense now. I'm like, yeah, Mom, like, I don't have time for that. But
oh, gosh.
I think that's a good way to, it's a good way to react with like the younger group of kids, and kind of get them to understand that at the end of the day, yeah, we're baseball players, but we're also people too, you know, like we're not that much different than them just because we can do certain things on the baseball field. And like, you never know what a kid's going to be when they're 14 anyway. Like if you would have looked at me as a 14-year-old, you would have never said, oh, that kid's going to play in the big leagues. Like 100%, nobody would have said that. So I guess it's just kind of cool to be able to talk to kids like that and see if I can kind of just give them a little bit of what's the word I'm looking for here?
Inspiration, maybe.
Why can't I think of it? Yeah. There you go. Thank you for that. Yeah, a little bit of inspiration. Just give them something that they can kind of take with them. And you never know what can happen, you know, if you put the work in. You just never know.
Well, I think you nailed it. It's an avenue to connect with fans. And so I wonder, what kind of a role do you think it plays in the future of baseball?
I would say probably a big one. Bauer, people kind of get on him a lot for the things that he does. You know, it can get a little tired sometimes, but I think all of his intentions are pretty good when it comes to at least growing the game and stuff like that. And, you know, he's out there on the forefront of social media, like banging away. A lot of people don't like it, but he's got a lot of younger kids following him. He's growing the game. Like, I think that's where it starts with the way our society's kind of shifting. It's a really easy avenue for those kids to be able to see like big leaguers interact with them. And I think that's where you get more of that, those younger fans coming to the game because they know the players. And if they know the players, they're probably going to want to come and see them play. Buy the jerseys, buy tickets, like get them in the stands. And I think that's the best route at growing the game at this time. I don't see another avenue that's more connective.
You know, you bring up Bauer, and I think he's on there so much, and there's so much that people are sort of taking as real or at face value. And not that he's not authentic, he is, but I feel like he's very strategic in his approach, and that's not always, people aren't always aware of that when they're reading it. How about you? You mentioned you're just kind of there having fun, but is there any sort of a strategic approach on your part?
I would say a little bit for sure. I mean, I definitely think before I say things. I don't just spout off everything that I think, obviously, but I think that's smart. You know, you got to be smart about the things you put out there, like, because everything's going to stay forever. But at the same time, if I can find a way to grow myself and grow my connection to other people, like I'm going to. So I think you hit the nail on the head with Bauer. Like everything he does is calculated when it comes to social media. I wouldn't say I'm nearly in the same boat as him, but like I think about things before I do them. I would say that's fair.
You recently made reference to a video of a pitcher at a lower level who does this legendary K-strut. It's like a crazy celebration when he strikes a batter out, and you said, wait till he does that in the bigs, right? Wait till he does it in the bigs, they're going to go crazy. I wonder what you think about. What do you think about celebration in baseball?
I think do whatever you want. Just know that if you do something kind of extravagant, it's probably going to come back to get you. You know, it's one of those things, like, you can do whatever you want, but if somebody else does something to you, I don't want to hear you getting upset about it. Like, let people play the game how they want to. if you don't like that a guy just threw his bat into the dugout, maybe don't throw a pitch that he can hit 700 feet. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is there.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my take on it. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty much a easygoing guy. And like, if someone hits a ball 600 feet off me, if they want to do cartwheels around the base, is fine. Like, they just hit it 600 feet. Do whatever you want, man. Like, good for you.
So it's not going to get, you hot under the collar if somebody flips a bat and stares at it for 5 seconds.
No, I mean, it's going to make me mad that they hit it that far, but I don't really care what they do, like, around the bases. That part,
right.
Whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be upset that I gave up a homer, regardless if it went 600 feet or if it went 310 feet. You know, it's just, it's never a good feeling in general.
And then how do you ride that line with your reactions when things go well?
I try not to be too out there. I know, like, a couple of guys were giving me a little bit of a hard time last year because I had a couple where I, like, got pretty fired up after a big strikeout to end an inning. But, like, I don't know. I don't try to force anything. If it happens, it just kind of happens because I'm so, like, in the moment, you know. It's not like I'm trying to be overzealous with it or over-exaggerate my reactions. It just is one of those things that just kind of happens in the heat of the moment.
You know, we talked about what originally attracted you to baseball. Do you ever think about what it was that attracted you and how that jives with the next generation coming up?
Honestly, no, that's a really good question. I haven't thought about that before.
Yeah, I don't know. There's an evolution. There's an evolution to it, obviously. And I think, you know, each generation, you know, you find the sport, but then you wonder with people talk about the pace of play or maybe it is the old boys rules about not celebrating and how that sits with the preteens, if you will, of today. I mean, I don't have the answer either. I wonder what you guys all think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they like the celebrations for sure. I think the celebrations are probably good for the game. I know a lot of the older generation is not thrilled with it, but
right.
At the end of the day, the game is kind of changing. Like, even if you just look at the way that teams are put together, like, teams are put together by guys that pitchers that have elite stuff and can strike guys out and hitters that can hit home runs. So it's going to turn into a lot of the strikeouts to homers thing, but that seems to be what wins games from the front office side of things. So that's kind of the route that the game's going to go. Like, the game is going to go whatever direction is best for winning, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to win a World Series. And I think a byproduct of all the home runs and all the younger guys hitting home runs is going to be those extra celebrations. But I think those are exciting. Like, if you watch a game, like, it's tough right now with Fernando Tatis kind of being out, because he was one of those players that's really easy to watch because everything he does is so smooth and so good looking.
Yep.
And he's got that flair to him, you know, he's like fun to watch. And I think that's where the game is going to grow. When you get guys who have a little bit of that flair, like, obviously we don't want it to be the only reason people are watching the game. We don't want that to take over, but people like to see cool things. People like to see guys throw 100. People like to see guys hit the ball 500 feet. You know, people like to see diving catches and diving plays. The days where the sacrifice bunt gets people all excited are probably on their way out. I think that's just kind of the way the game is changing.
What about rules that they're experimenting with? What changes do you think baseball needs to make?
None.
None.
I think they need to get rid of the this is my own personal thing. I think the runner on second base during extra innings is dumb. I think if you want the games to go quicker, I don't know if ending in a tie, if it's not the playoffs, is the right move or not, but maybe that's the direction we can go. The pace of play thing I struggle with, just because every other sport is about the same time. I get that. I get there's not action on every pitch, so I guess I understand that, but I don't think baseball needs to change that much. I think we need to stop trying to change it as much and just kind of let the game play itself. Like, people are going to watch baseball. Like, it's baseball, man. It's America's pastime. Anyone who says it's not, then I don't know. Maybe we just need to get more kids playing it at a younger age. Maybe that's the goal we need to take into it. But I don't know. Maybe that is the route. Maybe not enough kids are playing wiffle ball in the front yard trying to be Sammy Sosa like I was when I was 10 years old. Maybe that's the route we need to change. But I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay, quick pause to tell you about our sponsor, T-Mobile, one of our favorite partners because of how relevant they are to Giants fans. Because you're never far from McCovey Cove when you've got America's largest and fastest 5G network. In other words, T-Mobile is your ticket to the game, whether you're home or away. The Giants are big league. Why don't you come on up and join them? Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G. Fastest 5G by Open Signal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G Experience Report, January 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. And now back to Inside Giant Moments. Manager Gabe Kapler has some interesting thoughts on how to attract young fans, particularly as a young manager.
Gabe, there's a ton of talk and seemingly even an initiative across Major League Baseball with regard to attracting younger fans. First and foremost, I just want to get like an umbrella thought on that from you. What do you think about that, and what is it really that baseball can do?
I think there are a number of things that baseball is already doing to appeal to younger fans. I have a 21 and a 19-year-old son, both who consume the game, and in particular my older son, my 21-year-old, much differently than I did. It's not always the traditional broadcast. It's in smaller bites. It's in highlights. It's on Twitter and other social media platforms. So just kind of keeping that in mind and making sure that we are appealing to a very, very diverse audience, which is what baseball is all about. We are for everyone. We're not for one class of individuals, and we're not for one race or one background, ethnicity, or age group. I think we want to appeal to everyone, and that means being very sensitive to how they consume the game. And appealing to those things.
Yeah, I wonder what do you think the role of social media is here? And you know, in particular, your experience as a dad with those sons, 19 and 21. What is it they do in terms of their baseball consumption on social media?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think these at least my sons consume a pretty consistent stream of social media information. And you know, their news and in a lot of ways, their action in games is in smaller bites. And so just making sure that we keep that in mind. I don't have like any specific answers for how to make this work. But what I do know is, and I'm very confident this, we have a lot of smart people at Major League Baseball and at every club who are consistently keeping that in mind. And we're making changes for the right reasons and to appeal to the masses.
Your team and so many others are increasingly analytically driven and getting results through that. But I wonder how you react to a statement that I hear a lot, which is that sometimes analytics get in the way of entertainment for young fans. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's important that we have a healthy balance of information that you can read on paper about players and what our eyes tell us and what our intuitions tell us about what's happening on the field. I think they're both important to kind of create a nice balance between the subjective, kind of the scouting view, or in some cases, like people who have been around baseball for a really long time and have seen a lot of baseball, that intuitive sense. And what numbers are telling us, StatCast data, spin rate data, traditional data, like things that were on the back of the baseball card when I was a kid collecting baseball cards and learning about things like on-base percentage and strikeout rate and home runs and other counting stats as well. I think they're all important, and I don't think that we need to dismiss any of those really important ways to view the game.
By the way, do you still have your baseball cards?
Man, I wish I did. I probably do somewhere in my in my mom's house. I hear some of them are getting more and more valuable, so I should probably go through those at some point.
I'm going to ask what I know is a stupid question, but it's all good, and I'll try to explain why I'm asking it. But I wonder to what level you take fans into account when making decisions. And I don't mean that in terms of a pitching change. But an example would be, for instance, last year, people wanted to see Joey Bart, and you guys used a lot of patience. You waited. But fan pressure is a part of the picture of a baseball team. So how do you go about balancing that, the voice of the fan?
One thing I'll always say is I'm listening and we're listening. And I think that's important because I can share this with you. There's no leader, no coach, no GM in all of sports that knows everything. And sometimes it's really good to understand the direction that a group of fans is leaning, because I think it makes you reexamine your current position. Now, on the flip side, I don't think that we should be swayed so much that we lose our objective view and trust our read as an organization on what the best decision to make for the group is. But I don't think it hurts to be listening carefully and to keep our eyes open. We might learn something from just the right vantage point, even if it comes from a fan.
Yeah, I think, and I'm sure you're aware of this, I can share this with you with our listeners for sure. Like, the same thing is building in this moment for Elliot Ramos with the spring that he's had. What kind of factors are you taking into account as you think about his future this year?
The two most important factors are that he's performing really well in spring training, and I think you have to acknowledge that. He's done a really nice job. He's hit the ball hard. He's had nice at-bats, played good defense, ran the bases well. I think during this camp, we've learned that he has a chance to steal bases as well. Good all-around baseball player with a high ceiling and a bright future. And then I think we also have to remember that he is not an especially experienced player. And he's a young player that could really benefit from some upper-level experience at the minor league level. I think that was true for Joey Bart last year. We were put in a position where it made some sense based on our catching situation to give him a shot and give him some experience. Now, I think with a year of learning about what the minor leagues might look like going forward, we think there's going to be some at-bats and some reps for our upper-level prospects. We want to take advantage of those.
Baseball, I think, is sometimes seen as an old boys network, and it's got all these unwritten rules. I look at you, and I think, though, that you're a bit of a tone changer, and you are open to doing things in a different way. So you're a good person to ask that. What tone across baseball needs to change, if any?
What tone needs to change across baseball? Well, I think we have a pretty traditional mindset still in baseball, which is what is most comfortable is what we've always done. And I think a perfect example of that is some of the rule changes that got implemented in 2020. Those rules, those conversations leading up to those rule changes were really scary for a lot of baseball people that have been in the game for decades. Some of the rule changes were like the DH in the National League, which was very uncomfortable for a lot of people. Now it's a lot more comfortable. I think the runner on second base in extra innings was something that baseball traditionalists hated and now feel a little bit more comfortable with a year seeing it. So I guess one healthy reminder would be that change is always scary, but change can sometimes be a really positive thing. And once we get a little bit more comfortable with it, once we see it in action, applying some trial and error, which I think is an excellent science, is probably good for our sport if we want it to grow and expand. I think the second thing that I'd focus on and continue to hammer is how important it is for us to get a diverse group of decision makers in baseball. And what I mean by that specifically is people of color, people in marginalized communities need to be in positions of power in baseball if we really want to see this game grow and change. This is not a box checking exercise. It's how we make better decisions as a society by having a group of individuals that have different backgrounds, different ethnicities, and have seen life from a number of different angles, making the most important decisions. I think that will speed up progress in baseball substantially, and I think we have to stay very focused on that right now.
I think that's a great answer. You know, another part of this too, though, I think, you know, we mentioned the unwritten rules. A lot of that has to do with the swagger certain players play with, right? And some guys are just, you know, keep your head down and play. But I think it's the data has shown that the younger fan kind of digs that. They like a little showmanship. Let's say a young player comes up and he's got that flash to him. How do you handle that as a manager?
As long as that flash isn't directed at an individual in the other dugout, as long as that flash is intended to fire up your own team, I believe strongly that we need more emotion in baseball. We need more celebration in baseball. We need more colorful reactions in baseball. The other sports just outpace us.
Yep.
Soccer, football, basketball, they all have more of that exciting flavor, and we're just missing it. We tend to be pretty homogenous. Now, I think we're moving in the right direction, and I think we're seeing a little bit more of that style, that flair, and we're not always looking like the person who came to bat right before us, which is really good. We just need to celebrate it and get comfortable with it and recognize that it's not bad for the sport, and it doesn't make us any less traditional because we have somebody who wants to flip a bat or pound his chest or hug on the field or celebrate through some like real emotion on the field, whatever that means, smiling big, whatever, it doesn't really matter. Just expressions of joy are pretty good for our sport.
And maybe that's your perspective in part, not only because of who you are, but the fact that you're just in your mid-40s. I mean, managers are getting younger and younger. How do you see that affecting the product that we see on the field?
That's a good question. I don't know, because I got to be honest with you. I hope that I have an open perspective when I'm in my mid-60s, you know, if I'm lucky enough to still be managing this game then. I hope I had that open perspective in my mid-30s. So my instinct is that we all have our character traits. Maybe with a little bit more experience, those character traits are enhanced. Sometimes if we get a little saltier as we age, they go away. But, you know, what I'll ask is challenge me along the way and make sure that I keep an open perspective and that I challenge myself on my own beliefs at every turn.
And finally, one Giants player who hasn't even had a chance to be introduced to fans at the major league level yet, but no doubt that day is coming soon. Prospect Elliot Ramos weighs in on respect between young players and veterans and celebration in the sport.
A lot of times the establishment in baseball, veteran players want to see a guy kind of pay his dues before he has that kind of confident way about him. So I wonder what your experience with that has been and just what your thoughts are on that idea.
Well, I mean, it's a really – at the end of the day, the rookies, like we call it, like the, you know, the young players, we have to earn that, you know, like we have to work. We obviously have to do way more than the veteran guys. They have done their stuff. You know, like, you're not going to tell Buster Posey to go, like, you know, I don't know. Like, they've been there. They have, like, 13, like, 10 or plus year, like, in the big leagues, you know? So it's like, I don't know. They pretty cool about it. They don't, it's okay.
Part of that conversation, I think, also though, is just an energy that is shown on the field. It can be in the form of confidence. It can be in the form of celebration. If that's something that pitchers can see, they don't necessarily love it. But the thing is, the fans usually do. Is it something that you guys think about? Like, are you aware when you're on the field the way you react in certain situations, especially when you do well?
I mean, I don't think about it, but trust me, if I hit a home run in an important moment or something like that, I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to enjoy it. No matter
yeah.
what.
And I think fans like that. I think fans, yeah. I think that's good for the game. Is that, and by the way, I think baseball is much more of a celebration often in other nations, even for the fans. What was it like in Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico, it's always fun. Baseball is always fun. Like, they have, like, bands. Like, they play music. It's loud. When I used to grow, when I grew up, you know, it was not that many fans, but the stadium was so small that it looked like it was a lot, you know? So it was always loud. It was always fun. You know, it was always nice to play. The baseball is like hot, like fire, you know, like we are always going, we are always on the go. We have that fire in us that we just want to win, you know, and we want to go out there and give the 100% of us, you know?
And do you think Major League Baseball in the United States could use more of that?
Of course. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, it's always good. It's always good to have energy. It's a sport, you know. We were playing a game that we've been playing since we were little, you know. So it's like that. It would be nice that we can enjoy that freely, you know, like free and not, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nice. It's nice to just play and not worry about, like, oh, what the pitcher is going to think or something like that, you know, because you don't want to get hit either, you know.
Right.
I'm not trying to get hit. Like, I just want to enjoy the game, you know. I don't do that disrespecting nobody, you know. I don't do that disrespecting the pitcher. I don't do that disrespecting the other team. I mean, there's some players who does that, yeah, and I don't celebrate that. I don't like that. I don't like when you are trying to, like, you know, like, make the other team look bad. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're competing, you know? You're competing, and, like, if you're going to enjoy it, it's, you know, you're not disrespecting nobody. If you're just enjoying, like, what you do and your success, you know?
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Giant Moments, presented by T-Mobile. Don't forget to give us a rating and a review, and share this episode with your friends and family. To make sure you never miss these exclusive conversations each week, subscribe and follow the Inside Giant Moments podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.